Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, traveling by plane is always its own adventure. From the moment that you enter the airport until the moment you collect your suitcase from baggage claim, there's almost always something that you'll remember about what should have been a mundane experience. Right now, thanks to our current government shutdown, there have been all kinds of what they call air travel disruptions, namely staff shortages of air traffic controllers. It turns out that air traffic controllers like to get paid for their very serious work. Who knew? Now, even in the best of times, air travel can be stressful or weird or chaotic. Last week, we shared the story of a flight that made an emergency landing after the pilots lost contact with their cabin crew and heard pounding on the cockpit door. Well, naturally, they assumed the worst and they landed the plane. Turns out, just a malfunctioning intercom system. Passengers, by the way, lost 5 hours of their day as a result. Meanwhile, a Saudi Airlines jet, it did not make an emergency landing after it blew through a flock of birds. Now, sure, the nose of the plane was damaged and it was covered in blood, but they continued with their flight to their destination. And then last week, a small airplane made an emergency landing on a soccer field in Long Beach, California. Now, I'm not sure what was wrong with the plane, but when it landed, it hit a person. This woman's out walking her dog and she got hit by a plane. Miraculously, she actually survived. But look, here's the thing about planes. It's not always about them having to make emergency landings or hitting people that are on the ground, or maybe they lost their luggage, or somebody had gas, or somebody got sick, or you got stuck to the worst possible person sitting next to you, or maybe they just weighed too much. The long and short of it is, if you have to travel by air, something is going to irritate the piss out of you. It might not be a big deal, but something's going to happen that makes you a little angry. And that is what we are talking about today. If you have traveled by air, something weird has happened. So today, we simply want to know, what is your air travel story?
Be part of the big show. Call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Send your emails to themensroom at KISW.com. And now watch the show live on YouTube at KISW.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the fall classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rock. All the shows away we go. Welcome to the 20th anniversary season, episode number 4,416. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Guaranteed future repeat. The exciting return of your guess is as good as mine. Our categories today. We have America's favorite sodas.
All right.
You want to talk about keeping yourself healthy and shape and all that? Nothing better than grabbing an ice cold can of delicious soda pop.
Oh, God. Any of Fanta, Coca-Cola, name it. It'll make you stronger, smarter, and healthier.
What Americans are drinking, we have the top 10 list. And right. Yes, within the last two or three years, there's a brand new number one.
Mm-hmm.
It's been holding steady. Always within the top two or three. For whatever reason, Ted, you went to the state most known to drink it.
Yep.
And that is the most popular drink in the United States of
which
America.
Which I just cannot wrap my head around, man.
I think believe they're delicious.
I think part of it is because people like their diet version so much.
It is very good.
Yeah, I've heard more people compliment the diet version of it than they do the regular.
Well, I'm a Diet Coke drinker, but as far and people say, why don't you drink the Coke Zero? I just like the taste of Diet Coke.
I know you do. It's just weird.
I've been drinking it my whole life, so I at least get maybe one or two or three a week.
Yeah, when's the last time you just had a Coke? Regular, straight up, just full on Coca-Cola.
I mean, I hate to be this guy, but anytime I see the Mexican bottle that they have, like a Mexican restaurant or whatever, if I'm not having a beer, I'll have one of those.
I can't believe they don't just call it Mexicoke.
Yeah.
Mexicoca-Cola.
If I'm driving like 3+ hours, I'll stop and get a Coke at McDonald's.
The McDonald's Coke is different.
Yeah,
it's
McDonald's,
a different animal, man.
Jeez a whiz, man. They've got the Coke game nailed. You have a hangover? Go get a breakfast sandwich and a Coke at McDonald's.
Yeah, man. Seriously.
That'll take care of you in a heartbeat. So the 10 best soda drinks. The next category is countries we would move to if we decided to live abroad.
All right.
And experience some time somewhere else. So they polled 2,000 Americans to ask them what country, if they could, would they like to move to for a period of time. Two of those countries are in North America.
Yeah, I can believe that.
Seven are in Europe, and one is what I call other.
Other, okay.
Other. Still in the Americas, so to speak. You guys ever think about that? If you're going to move someplace?
Yep.
Like outside the country?
Outside the country, yeah.
I don't really think about it outside the country.
Oh, I do, man. Mazatlan. There's no doubt.
Yeah, I know where I'd move in the country.
Where would you move in the country?
It doesn't help. I was just there, but...
Austin?
I really like that city.
Man, every time you've been, you've come back with glowing reviews. I believe that. And somehow it fits you.
Yeah.
You can wear your cowboy hat. You can eat beef.
Are you sure that's not because you were just there?
But I've been down there in November. I've been in the middle of the summer, like when it's been hot and gross. Like, I hate being this guy, but like the vibe's just cool.
I was going to say, that's a good vibe.
It's a vibe.
Traveling is different. Traveling hits you different.
Sure.
We'll talk about that on the question, but it really does. It's my ex-wife, Jesus Christ, she'd travel all the time for business. And she would say stuff like, man, you've been to Anchorage, right? I'm like, yeah, we went up there. Oh, man, I'd like to live there. That's great.
No,
you don't.
I enjoyed my time in Anchorage. I would not want to. I enjoyed my time in Orlando, Florida. I would never move there. Like, sometimes, look, I am here. I'm going to have a good time. I can make myself have a good time. That is not the problem because I'm going to do everything that I wouldn't do. I'm going to drink every day from the time I wake up to the time I go to bed. Yeah. I don't know anybody. So you just kind of cut loose. I'm like, but I also know I could not live in Orlando. Right.
I got married the first time around. I went to, my honeymoon was in Jamaica.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jamaica.
Yeah.
I was like, this is awesome. People are nice, laid back, smoking weed, drinking a Red Stripe in the street. Tomorrow it's going to be completely annihilated. But
right.
At the time when I went there, I was like, man, this is.
Would you live there?
Well, knowing what I know now about the weather situation.
Sure.
It would not be the easiest place to live. I'm not even sure the Jamaicans can evacuate right now.
And if I
I'm pretty sure the Marley International Airport in Kingston is probably closed.
Right.
Montego Bay, maybe they're getting a flight out or two. But if you're down there right now, I mean, you are screwed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if Haiti gets hit, just based on the infrastructure, it's going to be worse. But
can they even tell in Haiti? Things are so messed up. Like, a hurricane can blow through. They wake up the next morning. Like, other than being wet, everything looks about the same.
But when I was in Aruba and Curacao, Jamaica, which is a little bit north of Venezuela, that was beautiful, too.
Where'd you move there?
It was Dutch. It's just in the middle of nowhere. It's so far away from everything.
I mean, you're right about travel. I liked Milwaukee, but you haven't heard me say I could move to Milwaukee.
But you love it, right?
Yeah.
Chicago's another great town till you spend a winter there.
Chicago is, and there's other places I can move, but also just the first one I've been to, I was just like, man, I don't know what it is. There's just something cool about this town.
Yeah. If you go to Victoria, Canada, beautiful. Vancouver, beautiful. Wintertime, live in hell.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, worse than here. Yeah, darker than here. Rainier than here.
I really like Vancouver. Would not live there.
No.
And I know, I'm like, dude, this is a great city. I'm having a blast. This is fantastic. Would you move here? Absolutely freaking not.
California, beautiful state. Got all kinds of stuff down there. Could I afford to live there? I don't know if I could pay all the taxes.
No.
To be honest with you, state taxes, the property taxes are crazy.
Income tax.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, Ted, you've been given a new nickname. You are the Tex Smith.
All right. Some people call me Tex.
Yeah. The Tex Smith.
And don't get me wrong, I still love the Northwest. Sure. The best summer, you know what I mean? But... yeah.
Do Texas people treat Texas like you guys treat the Maryland flag?
Everyone in Texas treats Texas Texas.
I mean, the burnt orange, is that equivalent? I mean, just at least in Austin to the Maryland thing with the flag?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a lot of hats. I mean, granted, Saturday at the race was Hatterday.
Hatterday?
Yeah, everybody, if you wore your hat, then for $20, you could get it branded with the...
they actually branded it.
Yeah, you could brand your hat.
Well, then I feel like the Texas flag is one that gets a lot of pride from its people, too. I feel like it's on a lot of stuff.
It's on stuff, but Maryland is weird about our flag. We are fierce about our flag because it is absolutely atrocious and ridiculous, right? Texas, the flag just kind of flies everywhere, but Texas talks about Texas. Like, yes, Maryland doesn't really talk about Maryland. We will talk about crabs. We would talk about seafood.
Talk about things Maryland,
but you don't really say Maryland. Texas, Maryland. Well, that's part of it. We can't pronounce it correctly.
Well, and here's the thing. Cobb put it best when he moved down there, right? He goes, man, Texas people, like, hype themselves up about Texas in Texas.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Like, they're always fired up.
Yeah. Always. Always.
You know people from Texas. They're always trying to move back to Texas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they're always away for a while.
Yeah, exactly. Their plan is to move back to Texas.
There's, like a wall around Texas that is your only existence in Texas.
Okay. If you're from Texas, it's not about you being from Texas. It's about the state of Texas.
Right.
So Californians, all right, they're going to remind you within 3 seconds, like someone who does yoga or a vegan or a vegetarian or CrossFit,
right,
that they are from California.
Right.
They're not bragging or being bodacious. They might drop a line at the end of it like, well, the taco's going to suck here.
Yeah.
Or whatever, compared to California. But you got to remember, I'm from California. So it's always about them.
Right.
It's not about the state.
Oh, no, right. Texas, that's straight up. No,
it's about the actual state, not about them being from that area. You know, like, oh, I'm from the Bay Area, so, you know, I mean, you know. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't care. But, you know, people from Texas are more like, it's Texas.
Period.
It's, you know, Texas.
And it doesn't matter. You can be in Dallas, you can be in Houston, you can be in Austin, you can be in Corpus Christi. It's like... it's about Texas.
And they do have a lot of different zones out in Texas as well.
And they're not remotely the same. Like, Houston is definitely its own thing.
It's its own country.
Is its own weird suburb with some skyscrapers. Austin, like Ted says, is cool little pocket of weirdness. Corpus Christi, it's like, I got money and I want to be near the water, you know. And then you can be somewhere like freaking Waco.
Yes.
And when you're in Waco.
I'm in the desert.
Hey, it's about Texas.
So my uncle and I share a birthday. So I went down there at one point on our birthday in January. So it's still nice in Texas in January. I mean, they get their weather, but for the most part, it was sunny and 70 degrees. We played golf, the whole deal. So on our actual birthday, which it fell on a Sunday, he's like, we're going to go get one of the best steaks in town, and we're going to watch some NFL football, and we're going to go there for like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock afternoon lunch. And yeah, trust me, this is one of the best steaks you ever had. We went to a strip club, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
We went to a strip club.
Were you in Dallas?
Yes, with giant televisions that were showing all the NFL games. It was almost like going to like David Buster's or Jillian's.
But with boobs.
David Boobster's.
Then all of a sudden.
David Boobster's.
All of a sudden, this huge waterfall comes down in the middle of the stage.
What was her name?
And it was lights and all this stuff on the waterfall. And all of a sudden, this woman just walks out in a bikini through the waterfall. And I'm like, this is unbelievable. I'm like fixing my baked potato.
Right.
I'm just like, this is insane.
I got football. Where I got baked potatoes and boobs.
I don't know if it was called the Landing. It wasn't even that place. Oh, God. Not the Landing. Either way, it still exists. I know that. But it was like this huge, it's almost like you're on the highway and you drove by what looked to be like a Walmart.
or a big Bass Pro Shop.
Right.
But it was just this huge-ass strip club in this just mammoth
Dallas is serious about
building.
The clubs.
They're
too.
Very serious about
it's
the
crazy. Club. First time I went to Dallas, right, like I didn't get an Uber. I got a cab to the airport.
Yeah.
And I mean, the guy was on me within 2 minutes. You know, like, you like Mexican food? I was like, yeah. He's like, you should go there or there. Do you like, you know, something about women, very nonchalantly. I said, oh, yeah, I heard they're beautiful down here. And he's like, here's this card. You go in there and tell them I sent you. I was like, oh, man. He pegged me as soon as I got in that cab.
Yeah.
How you doing, buddy?
Yeah, like, you look like you'd spend, you want to go to a strip club, don't you?
Like, you look like a man who likes boobs.
What's it called, the Lodge?
No.
The Experiment Lodge. Rhino they got, Baby Dolls, Bucks, Silver City, Bucks Wild. Chicas bonitas.
But honestly, I don't know. I've thought about moving in the country. I haven't thought about where I'd move outside of
the country.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I might be the outlier here, but I've said for a few years now that if I was to ever get brave enough to leave the Pacific Northwest, I would move to the Carolinas.
What is it about the Carolinas?
I don't know.
Because I've heard you say that.
Well, it's affordable for one thing.
It's affordable for one thing. There's a simplicity to it that I really enjoy. It's just, it kind of fits my aesthetic.
Do you like insects the size of bald eagles?
That's my thing.
Because, man, the Carolinas are fine, and they've come a long way. But, man, like in the summer, even the people in the Carolinas are like, I want to be anywhere other than here.
Well, also part of the East Coast driving culture. People will drive anywhere on the East Coast. 12 hours, not a big deal. We'll do it tomorrow. But where the Carolinas are located, you can easily get to Washington, D.C.
Mm-hmm.
You can easily get to Florida. You can get to Atlanta. Obviously, Charlotte is there. There's airports. There's Asheville. There's Raleigh. Right. There's Charlotte. There's Columbia. There's Charleston. All those places you can easily fly in and out of if you don't want to drive.
Well, and my qualifier here is I've never spent more than I've never spent more than 36 hours in one of the Carolinas at any given time. I have only been there really in the month of March. I've never been in there, during like hurricane season and whatnot. So there's very little that I know. There was a lot of research that I would have to do if I was to actually pull this trigger.
Humidity and bugs. Mm-hmm. That's all I would say.
Okay.
Hurricanes are hurricanes, dude. You figure it out. And every place functions the way it functions. But you cannot do anything about the bugs, man. And I'm telling you, there are so many more insects there.
Like,
when we got
barbecue
to the Northwest, they're fantastic barbecue. It's something you're going to get fat because all you're going to do is eat.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to care. Because it's that.
It's just cicadas out there as far as the bugs, right?
No. Those are ones every 10.
Palmetto bugs. An insect. It is there, and it is larger than they ever put on Google Images. I can't. I'm telling you, the more humid a place is, something happens to insects where they become like Bruce Banner.
Okay.
They like Hulkify, right? So you're screaming and running around like, hey, calm down, but it's just a roach. Now, as we perceive roaches, they're the size of roaches. There, you're like, dude, that is the size of a house cat.
It's going to pick up my head.
Right, exactly. They can mug you.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Then there's always Puerto Rico. It's the United States. I was down there, man.
I hear great stuff about Puerto Rico.
It was really? The only problem with Puerto Rico, basically what we dealt with the last weekend. Power outages, 30,000 people without power, sometimes just for no reason.
Yeah.
The grid just goes off.
Maybe it's
so,
just
like, it's not a storm or anything even responsible for it. Sometimes the power just stops working.
Yep.
So that's the problem with that place.
Maybe that's all I've heard is that there's just pride of Puerto Rico. If you're from Puerto Rico, you are proud to be from Puerto Rico.
Which is weird because you live in New York City.
That's right. No kidding.
There are more Puerto Ricans in New York City than Puerto Rico.
Like, you're in New York.
Like, I like the neighborhood I stayed in London, but I don't know that I was like, I got to move to London.
I really liked London. There's no chance I could ever afford to live in London, but it was a really cool city.
I really enjoyed Scotland when I was over
there.
However, it's very much just a country of Washington. It is rainy as hell. Oh. It is gray as hell. There is wind and cold out there. I loved it.
I was playing golf with a guy yesterday from Ireland, all right?
Yeah.
Nice guy. We're walking down the fairway, and it's pouring down rain, and the wind's blowing freaking 20 miles an hour. He's like, oh, I hate this effing. This is why I moved from Ireland. Like, oh,
why did you move here?
Right,
I'm just like, oh, my God.
Did you do zero research?
Hey, this we are just like North Ireland. Europe out here.
Yeah. Like, we're known for that. It's not like some secret.
Hey.
My God.
He's like, if you ever want to take a golf trip to Ireland, I'm like, is it like this? He's like, yeah. I'm like, no.
No.
I don't want to go there.
No. I'm sure the summer's beautiful.
It is here. Yeah. I don't need to go anywhere in the summer.
No.
Your guess is as good as mine. Cut of the 430, America's favorite sodas and countries.
Which,
that,
by the
we
way,
move to.
Just quick side note, one thing that really annoys me about the school schedule, which is pretty standard, right? But the kids are off during the summer, and inevitably you feel compelled to do something with them during the summer. And I always look at my wife and go like, dude, this is the one time I don't want to go anywhere. The weather's perfect here.
Yep. Yeah,
the sky is blue. We've got mountains. They can go swimming. And inevitably, wherever we go in the summer to take them on their vacation, is freaking miserable and hot and humid. I'm like, why don't we go somewhere like in February? Let's take the kids off for a month. Then I'm all in, man. But like when summer hits, I'm like, Dad, where are we going? I'm like, can we stay here?
Oh, that's why winter break is great to get out of town here.
Exactly.
Or you got to stay on the same northern tip, right? Like, I went to Cape Cod on July 4th, you know, but like...
But still, how hot was it?
Their weather is a lot like here, so it was great.
Just enjoy this week, because starting next week with daylight saving and all that crap, we are going to be dark.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be into the gray days for a while, so to speak. All right, moving on to the question, what is your messed up air travel story? Not everything has to be crazy, but this one is one of those things where I would like to hear from a listener who's experienced this before. Hopefully it wasn't tragic and smoke in the cockpit or whatever, but a Delta Airlines flight attendant made a $70,000 mistake Saturday after they accidentally deployed the emergency evacuation slide.
The flight attendant did?
At a Pittsburgh airport. The flustered flight attendant, with more than 26 years of flying experience, was so embarrassed by his mistake, he felt there was no other option to but publicly apologize to all the passengers whose journey had been majorly disrupted. It appears that as the aircraft was just about to push back from the gate, the flight attendant armed the doors for departure, and then somehow the crew member responsible for the forward left-hand door mistakenly lifted the door handle. Now, once the door is armed, any movement of the door handle is enough to trigger the emergency power assist functionality, which swings the door open and automatically deploys the inflatable slide.
Taking this out of my top story.
Yeah, if the flight attendant realizes a mistake, they say it's too late to correct the situation. The power assist system will force the door open whether you want it to or not. Now, to add to the drama on board, the slide that deployed was the forward left door, which is one that is used to connect the jet bridge to. As a result,
it's the one everybody uses.
The passengers were effectively stuck on the plane until the engineers unhooked the slide from the plane.
Why didn't they let the people slide down the slide?
I don't know. That would be my
because, like you said,
it's got to be a health risk.
I'm sure, but I think even if you took a poll, right? And look, maybe there's some elderly couples and like I get it, but if you said, "All right, ladies and gentlemen, no matter what, our flight's delayed. This is a mistake that we made, but where the slide has come down, that is what connects to the jetway where you would normally enter and exit the plane. So either we can wait for them to disconnect the slide and then hook up the jetway, or if you'd like, slide down. Because if you're that close, basically you would slide down and be exactly at the gate that you need to be. I would vote the slide, man.
It seems to be these things are about a one-shot deal. So they say it's
one use,
50, 70. Yeah. Some slide manufacturers, they'll... try to repack it. That costs $30,000.
Oh, jeez.
So either way, the accident
just had a brain fart, huh?
I guess. Or just hit
just
the wrong button.
On the job, yeah.
Right.
The incidents are known in the aviation industry as inadvertent slide deployments. I'm sure some
people sexy name.
Working for Boeing have to test these things. I'm sure that they get their fair share of like, all right, dude, we're deploying the slide today, man. Come on down to this hangar at 2 o'clock.
I would,
too. They say accidentally deploying a slide on arrival can be incredibly dangerous, as a slide could hit a ground worker or cause serious damage to a jet bridge or ground service vehicle. They say while the cross-check process is meant to prevent ISDs, on some aircraft, the flight attendant working the front of the plane won't actually have a buddy that is expected to cross-check their own work.
Right.
They say in 2023, British Airways became so alarmed at the spike of those situations occurring that it introduced the Japanese ritual of Shisa Kanko, in which workers in safety-critical roles point and call out what they were doing.
Okay, that makes sense.
Out loud. One study in the practice claimed that reduced human error by nearly 85%.
That makes sense. Shout out what you did. Someone either correct this or now we know, right?
Mm-hmm.
But 26 years, one slide deployment. I mean, is that the worst blemish on your record?
Well, the problem
it's
with
a $70,000 blemish.
Yeah. The problem with a lot of these things is the last time one of these things was really deployed, and I saw a video. It was probably like a month ago, whatever. I think it was smoke in the cockpit. Something was burning, whatever the deal is. They got the lights on and all that crap. And they deploy the slide. But people are literally in the above overhead bins, grabbing all their crap and all that stuff. And the flight attendant's like, get off of the plane. We will get this crap out of here for
right.
you. Get off the plane. You're like... I mean, there's smoke billowing in there and just grabbing their crap, you know, grabbing their pillow that goes around their neck.
I'm well, like, there's something to be said also for not panicking.
Yes.
Right? Like, maybe panic a little more than that, but don't go into a full panic.
But I don't want my carry-on, like, on my lap when I'm going down the slide. I'm throwing my hands up. I'm having fun with this.
I think I would still, because I always keep my backpack underneath the seat in front of me.
Yeah.
Like you're supposed to.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I'd probably just throw that on and then hop down the slide.
Yeah, well, you could do that with a backpack.
Yeah, like, you're right. I wouldn't go open the container to get my duffel bag or, you know, I still use that Telemordu bag.
You still use that?
I do.
Years. It's a good bag, dude.
It is.
Durable.
We're getting to a point now. There's some weird marks on it and stuff. Like, I don't want this thing to rip open. But
should have checked it.
I've been using that thing forever, and it's great. But, yeah, like, I wouldn't sweat that as much because that's usually just clothes.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, I don't know. If I grab my backpack, I'm taking the slide, if given the option.
If I got to take the slide, look, even if I would not grab the crap from the overhead, but even if I did, like, you're not going to not let me go down the slide, so no harm, no foul.
Our question, what is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G, more towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our question, what is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Chris. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch. Hola.
Hola.
All right, guys. Well, I'm a new flight attendant. Started almost 6 months ago.
All right. How long's the training for that? I'm just curious.
It was 4 weeks of intense training.
What makes it intense? What is it, the emergency protocols or what?
Well, a lot of people think, you know, we just stand up there and look good and hand out sodas, but
some people look good. Some people do not. Yeah.
That's me. Yeah. I'm the good looking
one.
The
good looking one. All right.
But it's mostly life saving. We're doing everything up there. You know, a lot of people think that, you know, we might have someone in row 22A having chest pains while somebody in 3C's having anxiety. We're dealing with multiple things at once, but most of the training deals with saving a life. And I had that opportunity the day I actually graduated. I got my wings pinned. My son was there with me. And I was ready to go home. I was exhausted. So we board the plane. I'm still in my uniform. I'm doing what's called deadheading home. And right after takeoff, about 2 minutes into the climb out, a passenger in front of me hit the flight attendant call button. And I was so close to him, I got up and I'm like, hey, what's going on? And he told me that he had like numb fingers and just didn't feel right. So another flight attendant came up and we kind of went through our questions and determined that it wasn't really serious, but we were going to keep a close eye on him and it might be low blood sugar. And he got up, went to the bathroom, came back and said he felt better. And I said, hey, buddy, I'm 2 rows behind you sitting with my son. If you need anything, you just wave your hand. About 10 minutes later, he waves his hand and I go up to him and he said, do you have a row that I could lay down in? So I go look back and I see my son sitting there. I'm like, yeah, you can have our row. We were going to move and let him have it so he could just lay down. And he stood up, he looked at me, and then all of a sudden his eyes rolled behind his head and he collapsed in my arms.
This is the first freaking day that you've got your pins.
Yeah, I've got my brand new wings and here I am with a guy completely gone. He's just in my arms, his legs folded under him, so it's an awkward position. I'm like, oh my God, he's going to break a leg. Or so I had to reach under his thighs to lift him up straight so I could lay him down. And I got him into what we call a recovery position. And I'm yelling, medical, medical. I ended up having to back away because they found a doctor and we got all of the medical kits out and everything where they were working on him. And I helped secure the cabin. We made an emergency landing in Amarillo, Texas, out of all places.
Jesus. Wow.
Did you just go to first class and say, will the doctor stand up, please?
No, they did make an announcement if there's a doctor on board. And what was
what if it's a dentist?
Yeah, I know. What kind of doctor? Because my
uncle, he's a professor at a university, teaches history.
Yeah, my uncle's a doctor, but he's a botanist. So in theory, he could jump up.
I'm a botanist. I got this.
Unless the man is a plant, he can't help it. By the way, did the doctor pop out of first class?
The doctor, I couldn't tell you where the doctor was sitting, I know that he did take an aisle seat and laid over the top of him while we were landing. We're assuming it was a heart attack. And he would come in and out of consciousness, grab his chest and complain that it was hurting real bad. And thankfully, we got down on the ground quick. I mean, I've got to give it to these flight attendants and the pilots out there. When somebody's in distress like that, everything is about getting them to the ground as safely and quickly as possible. Get them into an ambulance and get them to where they need to go. And I'm praying the guy's okay.
You proved it because you sprang into action, man. I mean, good on you. That's insane to me that is day one.
How does the flight work? Like, if you're making an emergency landing, like, does Amarillo just say, hey, every other plane, you can't land right now?
You can only land there in the morning.
Right.
Yeah, they'll make a call right away to the tower and request a diversion city for medical. And, yeah, they'll clear everything for just us to be able to come in right away. I don't think Amarillo has a lot of traffic in their pattern.
I don't think they do, no.
And, hey, I got lucky, too. I was one of the first to be stuck in one of the tower closures.
Oh, nice.
A week ago. Yeah, Jesus, it was great. Jesus. 2 hours. 2 hours we stayed.
Hey, man, how old is your son? Since he had to witness all this to see dad spring into action, how old is he?
Phoenix is 15 years old.
Okay, oh, so he's old enough to absorb what's going on and all that.
Yeah, he was pretty shook up. And, you know, he just became a lifeguard this summer over at, you know, one of the wild waves over
there.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so it was
so he's actually gotten some training, too.
He did, and he was really eager to ask a lot of questions. And we ended up missing the flight home because we had to connect through another city, and we ended up having to overnight in another city. Of course, I wanted to go home, but that wasn't happening.
Now, wait a minute. As a flight attendant, do you get any kind of juice on bumping yourself up to another flight if it's on the same airline?
Not really. It's kind of a standby thing, so
okay.
It goes by seniority order for sure.
What made you want to be a flight attendant? Everyone treats you?
Nah, I was 20 years as one of those ramp guys out there, and my shoulder started really giving me a lot of heartache, and I talked to my wife and said, hey, there's a flight attendant opening, and when she gave me the thumbs up, so it's like, this is happening.
Is there still those agents that fly on the plane? What are those guys called again?
Air marshals?
Air marshals. Yeah. Do they still do that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can't really go into depth
on
that.
No. I always play the game just as I'm sitting there.
Yeah, you're not supposed to know
who's the air marshal. No bags, you know, walks on without a jacket.
So what route do you get on the flight deck? Some people, you know, they're always flying from here to Dallas, Dallas back to Seattle. What is your main destination?
Being new, I get the, like, Midland, Texas, to where there's, like, a garbage can that I can view on my layover. Wichita.
Oh,
I get the greatest there, but
what would be your goal if they said, look, tell you what, you saved a man's life on your first day on the job, you can pick any route you want, which one are you taking?
I'd definitely be to Hawaii.
Oh, yeah?
I would jump all over Hawaii if I had that opportunity.
Well, would you take that over an international flight? Like if they said, look, we also have Tokyo, we have London, we have Paris, still take Hawaii?
I would, just because of the fact that it's paradise there, you know, and being able to just go out on the beach and all year long, it's just perfect weather there.
Yeah.
Well, not a lot of delays to land. I mean, maybe coming back.
Right. But
you might get in some crap. But at least if you're going to Hawaii, you're going to get to Hawaii. Yeah, or you're going to end up in the Pacific Ocean.
Now, where are you based out of again that you got all these small towns in Texas?
My base would be in Oakland, California.
Okay.
All right.
And
so I can get to work.
Do they train you to... obviously, you have to stay calm if something definitively is going wrong. But one thing... You know, as a passenger that knows nothing, every once in a while, you'll hear like little dings. So maybe there's like ding, yes. ding. And the flight attendants seem pretty cool. And I go, there's nothing weird going on. And I know that I believe different airlines have different ding systems. But I do recall being on a flight. I heard three dings. And just the look on the flight attendant's face told me something has gone very, very wrong. They're not going to tell us what it is. I know that. But they were moving very briskly and they seemed very concerned and they were hovering around the cockpit. So is it different per airline as far as their ding system?
You know, I'm assuming it's all pretty much the same. Like when you mentioned that we double check each other's work, that's pretty common in all of the industry. When arming the doors, we're double checking and disarming doors. I'll look over and make sure that my coworker's door is secured or armed or disarmed.
Okay. As a flight attendant, is there anything that you would like to tell the average airline traveler that would be beneficial to help you with your job? Is there something that, like, as far as just getting your bag up quick, clearing the aisle, is there something that you say, like, look, this could really help everybody involved? Is there anything like that?
Yeah. A couple of things. If you get on board, stow that bag, go in the overhead bin, and take your seat, we'll be able to get you out on time. And we actually make those announcements. Another thing, too, is if there is an evacuation, don't worry about that carry-on bag. Trust me, that's the last thing. There was a crash in Russia just about 10 years ago where everyone was trying to grab their carry-on bags while the back of the airplane's on fire.
Jesus.
And unfortunately, it killed half the passengers because everything
they fell out the window.
Yeah, there was nothing. And everyone needed their carry-ons, and it's just not worth it. Seconds matter. We want to get you off that airplane in less than 90 seconds if we can.
And one last question for you, man.
Sure.
Why do you think, because it's something I do not understand, and every flight I've ever been on, I see people do this, before the overheads get completely packed, people get on the plane, they see an overhead bin, and they put their carry-on up there. I'm like, cool. And then they walk 12 rows back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody wants to just put their bag over their own goddamn seat, and I do not understand it. And I feel like it ends up taking everyone longer to get on and off the plane.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I don't know the reasoning for it. I've been trying to figure that out since I've only been doing this about 6 months, and I couldn't give you a definitive answer on that one.
I think that people just panic. They worry they're not going to find any space, so they just see an open space and throw it in there.
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
I swear to God, that's my whole theory on it.
But just put your bag over your seat, man. You know where you're sitting. Just put it there.
Is there, like a bartender would tell you, there's certain drinks that just kind of like raise your attention, that fly a flag. Is there one drink that you serve on a plane where you're like, oh, no, this guy.
What we're saying is Jack Daniels.
What is it?
Hot chocolate when it's only a 30-minute, 40-minute flight, and you're like, oh, no, because you've got to actually rip open the package, stir it, get it ready.
I've read that someplace. What's the most annoying request that you get on the regular? The regular request, you're just like, Jesus.
What if it's a 6-year-old kid? He just wants a hot chocolate.
Right.
The most regular request, in terms of what is frustrating?
Yes.
It's got to be the hot chocolate or, you know.
Hot chocolate.
I never would have guessed hot chocolate, man.
No, me neither. That would not have been on my list.
You know, I'm gonna just to be a D. Flight, I'm gonna do it next time I get on.
Can I get a Jack and hot chocolate?
If it's a 2-hour flight, that's not an issue. But sometimes, you know, we have those really short hops, and we're like, oh no, I've got to get 80 people served in less than 15
this
minutes.
This idiot wants a hot chocolate.
Whiskey and hot chocolate doesn't sound that bad.
It doesn't at all.
And they don't get a chance to drink it because by then we're already collecting everything.
Yeah, that was going to be my question. Okay.
I went out for a month with a flight attendant. Her big thing for me, she was like, just don't hit the call button for booze. She's like, because we're probably going to cut you off.
Well, to be fair, now Miles has hit the call button for booze, but he pressed mine.
Yeah.
And that was very uncomfortable. His flight attendant even said, is this for the gentleman behind you? I'm like, no. Can I get a double vodka soda? And she's like, you've been drinking Jack all day. I'm like, I'm just switching up my appetite. She's like, well, that's funny because the guy behind you has been drinking double vodka soda. I'm like, I don't even know the guy. I don't know what to tell you.
I'm tapping him on the shoulder like, you get it?
Oh, yeah. The look on her face was like, I know you're full of S, but I'm not going to say anything.
Oh, dude, she was.
Because we used to argue about it. And then, again, we only hung out for like a month or two. She was like, hey, tell Miles that is a red giveaway. that you've probably already had too many or whatever. She's like,
that's why
if you can't wait in the time in between for us to get there, you're hitting that call button. She's like, I know.
Well, they only come across once, and Miles needs a couple during the
That's exactly. Thank you. They already cut him off.
No, they didn't.
They did.
No, they
that's
didn't.
Why they wouldn't. If you ordered a drink, they would not bring you a drink. They did. That's why you hit my button. So they already knew he'd had too much. Because that's why
I'm so thirsty.
That's thirsty.
Yeah.
Some of the flights, if like when I fly across the country, they come by a couple times.
But like it's not that hard. Basically, sometimes I'll just get up to go to the bathroom and just be like, hey, I'm up in whatever. Can I buy another beer? And they're like, sure. So she's like, you can do that. But she was just like, you start hitting that button just for drinks. Man. She's like, it's a red flag.
I rolled back there one time to get a drink and they looked at me like I was weird.
Oh, really?
Like, why in the hell are you back here? Kind of a thing.
Because you have the booze.
Yeah. Usually we ask you to wait until we come by. Like, okay.
I would say 50%
did you pre-jump the first serving?
No.
Oh, okay.
I think I've gotten another
one. What happened to the Biscoff cookies? Have they gotten rid of those?
No, I still get them, man.
They're in Alaska.
Depends on the airline.
Is that what it is? Man.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because I got Biscoff on my last flight, and I could barter with the kids, right? Because as soon as we got them, we're all eating them. And my daughter's like, are you going to finish them? I said, what are you going to do for me? Seriously, what are you going to do for me if I give you the rest of my Biscoff? Because these are really good, babe. She's like, well, let me think about it. I said, you got like 30 seconds because I'm going to
eat them.
I'm going to finish the bag. So I ended up finishing my Biscoff. She was disappointed. But again, she ate hers. But the flight attendant was very kind. I said, hey, can I get another Jack? And can we get another bag of Biscoff? And I just thumbed at my daughter. And she's like, oh, of course. So when she came back, she gave my daughter two bags of Biscoff.
There we go.
And my daughter, she didn't say it, but the look on her face was, F you, old man. Right? I mean, just they both plopped down.
You're the one that hooked her up, man.
I know, man.
Come on.
Still.
What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-RUN.
I was next to I don't know how to describe it, strange, different. This couple was... God damn it, I don't know how to say this. Like, maybe they were a little off.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
No, not entirely. Like maybe, I know you're trying to find a safe word.
I don't want to say there's something wrong with them mentally, but maybe it wasn't all there.
I got you, okay.
Right? Like, they were playing a very specific card game and counting faster than I could count in my life.
Okay.
Right? But then they fell asleep during the thing. So then they woke up, and I don't know. They just didn't seem really, like, I tried to engage them once. They didn't want to talk. I'm having a couple beers, and I see him kind of looking over. But then I hear her go like, oh, man, we didn't get our Biscoff. I was like, oh, hey.
I got you.
I got two right here.
In my pocket.
Then we were super friends. So you're right. I don't know how to explain it.
Biscoff.
You got a couple Biscoffs on a flight. You can get anybody on your team.
What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROG.
Hello, Michaela. Welcome to the men's room.
Hi.
Hola.
Hola, Bitola. Well, I got to SeaTac Airport a few years ago about 4:30 in the morning after a night of playing league darts. So I had been, you know, imbibing in the tequila.
Oh.
And I feel like, right? I feel like there's someone looking at me. But you're at SeaTac, so you run into people. You live in Seattle. No big deal. I'm drunk. I'm not paying attention. And it's Southwest Airlines. I'll never fly Southwest again. Open seating. And I'm standing in line, and I'm standing behind my brother. We're on my way to my cousin's wedding. Did I mention it was Valentine's Day? And four people in front of me, I see a Seahawks jersey with my ex-husband's last name on it. And I'm thinking, I would have remembered if the Seahawks signed that name. I'm not going to say it because it's not a very popular name.
Okay.
And I look up, and it's the chain I bought him, the freckle in the back of his neck, and the same haircut, and I start to panic. I'm not a good flyer.
Well, did you have were you and your ex-husband on decent terms at least?
Oh no, every time I see something about someone his age when the city he lives in, I think on the news, oh, is that him?
Okay. <All right. laughs>
And my brother goes, where? I don't see blank anywhere, and starts saying his name really loud and obnoxiously over and over. And I want to just melt into the ground. So we get down the tarmac or get down the airway, whatever, the walkway thingy. And I'm standing there and I'm just like, I do my Hail Mary cross to up above and I do the reverse one to down below because I've obviously done something to up above or down below to make this man be on this plane with his new whatever on Valentine's Day morning.
Stinging. That was the sad piece.
Whose wedding were you flying to?
My cousin's.
All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just not doing good. The lady behind me, she's like, I'm the same way, girl. I'm like, my ex-husband's on the plane. She's like, I'm so sorry. The flight attendant, bless his heart, gave me free booze the whole time down.
Nice.
Was it him?
Right? Yes, it was.
Oh, and now, did he know that you were on the plane?
I'm assuming so, because as they were getting off the plane in Sacramento, the airline stewardess, not the steward, stopped them at my seat as they're leaving and says, I'm sorry you were uncomfortable for the first part of your journey. I hope the rest of your trip goes well.
She's saying that to the ex?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. He saw your ass.
Dabbing in the leg.
Look, I got like it's not nearly the same thing. I didn't have a relationship with this person, but I did work with him.
Uh-huh.
And you know, you work closely with certain people in your job, but some people are just they can be a little bit much and they can be annoying.
Yep.
Is this hair
and,
lip?
Yeah, and you had to redo a lot of what she did because she could never do anything right.
Right.
So it wasn't that she was a bad person. None of those things. It was just how
she annoyed you.
This is your job. You do this every day. How do you not know fundamentally how to get this job done? You know. So I get on a plane. I'm with a brand new girlfriend, just got divorced, finally getting laid again, the whole deal. We're going to the Dominican Republic. Get to the terminal, man. Sit down. I get this tap on my shoulder. Miles, hello. And I'm like, oh, no. I was like, where are you going, man? She's like, Dominican Republic. I'm like, you're going to the Dominican? So am I. She's like, oh, I think we're on the same flight. I was like, oh, that's because I'm getting away from work, man. It's a vacation. It's a week. And I was like, what are you saying? What are you doing? And she says, well, me too. And I was like, oh, my God. When are you coming back?
I'm going back next Saturday.
Me too. What's your flight? Same freaking flight. Same airport. I am, like, in this hotel. Like, I would turn the corner in the hallway just to look down the hallway and, like, sprint and then run and get to the corner and look
bonus
again.
Bonus friend.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know where I'm going. I'm going to the bar, downstairs, in the lobby. And guess who's down there?
Oh, hey, what are you doing?
I'm like, oh, no.
You guys want to go to dinner tonight?
No.
No.
For a week.
No. How many times did you have to interact with her during the week? Trying to be cool.
There's one pool. There's one beach.
There's
like the standard Italian restaurant and the other American fair, whatever they have.
So if you're at the pool, is she going to saddle up next to you?
Look,
if you're on the beach and she sees you, is she going to join
you? If I wasn't at the pool, she would walk down to the beach where I was, hiding underneath the tree.
Are you kidding?
No. She was there by herself. I was like, this is insane.
Hey, Miles.
I know. Even my ex-wife at the time, or my new girlfriend, soon to be ex-wife.
Right.
I was saying like, wow, she's kind of annoying. And I'm like, you think? God. I mean, you couldn't have picked a worst coworker. I mean, the worst one you've ever worked with in your life, but that one job. It's just like, ah, God.
And she's the one.
What is your messed up air travel story? 206-803-ROCK.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speedtest. So baseball fans are connected to the Fall Classic from home to home plate with the most advanced 5G. More towers and a signal that goes farther than ever before. T-Mobile has you covered. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Best mobile network based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data, first half 2025. See details at T-Mobile.com.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.